What's up, guys? This is episode 19 of Beyond Every Toy Owl, and today we are joined by one of our other hosts,
Xavier
Puente. This is Eduardo Pineda, and today, I don't know if you want to do the introduction since you're the one that knows him the most.
We have a really special guest today, Tyler.
Hey.
Your last name, I don't want to kill it, man.
So my name is Tyler Albrechtson, but I go by the artist moniker of Uncommon Designer. So that's what most people can find me as, is Uncommon or Uncommon Designer.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
I'm Jeremy Coble. I go by J. Cobbs online most of the time for most of my artwork stuff.
Jeremy is the lead sculptor for our production company that we've started.
Nice.
So he does, him and I together collaborate on pieces, and usually we're bouncing files and 3D sculptures back and forth between each other to make modifications and get the pieces ready for print and all that stuff. So it's a team effort.
So, like right now, we're in his art studio, and your art studio is mainly of...
I mean, mostly this studio is essentially a 3D printing studio. Mostly what we do is we take other artists who draw characters or come up with ideas, we help transform those 2D images into 3D images and then eventually a 3D print, so that they can actually get to hold their character,
for the first time.
Yeah. We make our own stuff, obviously, too. You know, you see some of our statues and things that we've been working on here. But, our main goal is to kind of be that bridge for other artists in the world.
Tell us a little bit about how your origin story, basically, from your childhood. I want to know how all of this got influenced into what it is, you know?
I mean, I've been a artist / toy, I mean, since I was a little kid. Like a lot of guys, you know, I grew up on the 80s era G.I. Joes and Transformers and all those early 80s Ninja Turtles and stuff. And as a kid, I collected all that stuff and loved it. I was one of those kids who didn't open his boxes. I was like, no, I gotta keep it in the... You know, I was
quite a few of those people.
I loved my toys. You know, I loved my toys. And that's where it all started, man, was then. And
you still have some of that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I still have Ninja Turtles from the 90s. I still have... 80s era action figures and stuff like that I've collected in boxes, all sealed up.
Still in boxes?
Yeah, you know it. Oh yeah, you know it, baby. But yeah, that's definitely where it began.
G1 Transformers too?
What's that?
G1 Transformers? You got those?
Oh yeah, the generation of the old school ones. Yeah, I have the old school Starscream and stuff, yeah. But that's definitely where it started for me, was with the old school toys and cartoon shows and stuff like that. And as a little kid, I started drawing the stuff that I saw on TV.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was all about, was like, oh, I can see that. Okay, now try to make that, you know, try to draw it.
Did your life ever have to deviate from like, did you ever stop collecting or?
Yeah, I was in the military for almost 10 years. And during that time, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. During that time, I was definitely focused on my career in the moment and stuff like that, and artwork in general, and comic books, toys, all the stuff that I really fell in love with as a young person had to take a bit of a backseat. Time to grow up for a little bit and work on life. After I got out of the military, though, I wasn't sure what I was going to do with myself, so I started thinking. I was like, what did you do before the military?
Yeah.
I was like, well, you were pretty good at drawing, you were pretty good at skateboarding, you were pretty good at painting and all that. So I went back to the stuff I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started to find. I was like, okay, you know what? You can actually make a life making toys and shit like that. So.
And you're still skating?
Right there. Yeah, him too. We go down to the skate park and Chicago Park right there. You know what I mean? Opening up this studio, we've only had the studio open for about 3 months.
Yeah, just about.
Maybe three, yeah, 3 months. And it took us a little, me and Jeremy were in here on the weekends.
We were painting up the place, getting rid of spiders, making sure shit works.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't have done it without him, too. He came in here and really, we met in college, you know, both in 3D stuff, and I knew that, I don't know, I mean, I guess you'd agree, like, most of the people who go into the world of 3D, I'd say they really want to make characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, everybody wants to work on the next big character that's going to be the, you know, Maui from Moana or Kratos from God of War, you know, but a lot of times those characters, you know, I mean, you got to be working in the industry for a long time before they'll trust you to be able to work on that stuff, you know. And we're not that patient. Yeah, we're not really patient. So
but it's all good because I see the quality and, like, you know, like that Mewtwo up there, like, fuck, dude, like, it's crazy to. If you guys paint it, the amount of detail that it's going to be, you know, it looks nice. Like, I've never seen 3D printed stuff that's so smooth, you know? Like, I mean, I don't know the process or anything, but everything looks pretty nice, to be honest.
Yeah, the technology's come a long way. Yeah. It's getting better. Mm-hmm. Every year it just gets a little bit better and a little better. And I think that 3D printing, in my opinion, it's the difference for artists. Like, you know, 100 years ago, I would have to learn how to sculpt in clay. Yeah. I would have to know how to do that if I wanted to bring. Yeah, you know, technology has started to bridge this gap, and it's like, well, you don't have to know how to use clay anymore. Yeah. Now you just have to know how to do this and know how to make the two come together. So it's. I think that just in general, artists, we're kind of on the change right now of like a new renaissance, digital renaissance, maybe.
Some new era.
You know, we're seeing things like with Xavier's shoes here and stuff. We're starting to fuse digital technology, being able to print out these graphics and then being able to lay it down on something. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane,
something, man. That we couldn't see when we were little.
Oh, absolutely not. You know,
we always had to stick with what the stores or what the company like Nike had to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we make our own stuff. It's like, no, I'm not. Why pay for that when I can make my own stuff? Yeah. I have people ask me now, they're like, where'd you get your shirt? I'm like, I make it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, whoa, okay. I'm like, I don't like the clothes that are out there, so I make my own stuff now.
I want to come back to that topic, but first I also want to know his origin story as well.
So basically, I've been in El Cajon just about all my life. My family is pretty out there. So my dad's from Kentucky. He was in the Navy for most of his life. And then my mom's from Scotland. So she traveled over here with her parents and had been out here since she was 16. So my grandfather started a mini business just doing glazing work. So that's where my family kind of came up from, is just glazing and hard work. So for me, I didn't necessarily want to go into the glazing field that much. I was more interested in art because my dad, while he was in the Navy, would paint and draw. And the first time I saw a piece by him, I was totally inspired to get into art as it is. And then one day my mom drew something for me for like a class project. And I was like, holy crap, she could draw better than me. So I got obsessed with drawing from a young age. And by like fifth grade, all my friends were drawing and they were all better than me. So I just wanted to get better. But by the time I got into like high school, I found out all of them stopped and I was the only one still doing it. So then I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. But when I started to realize animation or art is just a path that I can actually go down, that's when I finally geared up and I started just getting serious about it. And throughout high school, I started hearing more people saying, you're never going to make it. And so I'd be constantly stressed out, but when I'd be stressed out, I'd just be drawing more. So eventually I got super good and managed to get into the college that I went to with this guy.
I think those words that they told you is probably the best thing that could have ever happened to you.
Yeah, damn, motivation. Yeah. That's really what it is. It depends on your willpower, too. Yeah. So if you're like me and hard-headed, I'm like, I'm going to show you wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Succeed on spite.
I eventually made it to Platt with this guy, and I started going down the 3D path because I saw how much I can actually affect in 3D versus 2D. Yeah. There's a lot bigger of an audience for 3D than there is 2D because I didn't want to be making posters online or just trying to constantly make my work pay for my living. So when I got into 3D, it seemed like the best of both worlds is that I can work in so many different avenues. I can do sculpting, I can just make stuff dedicated for games or for movies. But I eventually met this guy. And he got me interested in making figurines one day, so we just started working together on that. And it was pretty, like, we just clicked pretty easily.
How did that idea come about? Like,
literally one day I was sitting at a table with the rest of the 3D guys, because we just talk about movies and geeky stuff and just critique everything like hell. Our teacher was saying, hey, somebody's been in the lower classes asking around for someone who knows how to model and make figurine stuff. And he was telling me, he's like, you can make just about anything. Maybe you should talk to the guy. So one day we're all sitting at the table and he comes walking by. He's like, hey, I need a modeler, someone who's good. Should we get, does anyone want to help me out? And I just looked at my friends like, hey, what do you need?
He was the only one who was interested at the time. So that was interesting. I, like, I met Jeremy, or like I knew that when I was developing, when I realized I wanted to be a toy maker specifically, like I knew that I didn't necessarily have all the skills at the moment to be able to start pushing mm-hmm. that forward. The skills that I did have was the ability to draw. I mean, like I could draw concept art and things like that, and I could do some 3D work a little bit, but I didn't quite have the skills yet mm-hmm. necessary to be able to do full-blown sculptures. And I knew, I was like, dude, I need to humble myself. I need to find some people around me who know what the hell they're doing, you know? And I was like, well, who better to ask than the other people I'm going to school with and things like that. And yeah, I, just like Jeremy said, I went up and I asked a group of other 3D people from our program. I was like, hey, does anybody want to do some 3D work and potentially make some money on it and stuff? And he was the only one who raised, like, I do. I was like, all right, well, I guess we're working. And like, ever since then, yeah, we started working together, and it's been really good. Been able to get some clients and work on some projects for some other people and help bring some other people's ideas to life.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that was probably the most rewarding part of this so far is like the Grease Beast guy.
Oh yeah,
it's getting to fun. Yeah, getting to do his work. So we had a guy who had a character, and he sent us the 2D illustration of it, and it's for a hamburger monster that's like come to life.
Okay.
And he doesn't know the 3D software and all that.
His creator owned. So is it like his
creation? Yeah, yeah, it's or whatever? His creation. And so he needed. So again, he was like the perfect person for when we were first mm-hmm. starting out on yeah. this whole journey. He mm-hmm. was the kind of guy who's like, I need guys who can make this in the 3D. Yeah. You know, make a 3D version of this, and that's what we ended up doing for him. Jeremy, you know, sculpted and stuff like that, and then I was able to take the sculpture that Jeremy did and bring it onto the printer mm-hmm. and make prints out of it. Mm-hmm. Now the guy, he's making his own silicone molds, and he's able to make copies of the character that we made for him. So that's, his design.
That's
not
it.
Yeah, this yeah, you can see right here. So this little burger monster.
Yeah, there's a big.
So there's a small version. Yeah, we printed a big
and
version.
This is just
for
the
him
head, right?
Like yeah, exactly.
Check it out, guys.
That's called the Grease Beast. If you're interested in,
how many,
you can follow.
How many concepts? Is this the only one?
So we've done a couple different facial expressions for him now. So Jeremy has gone through
like
and re-sculpted. Yeah.
So he's going to choose one?
He's already chosen all of them. And
okay.
What he's doing is having us create all these different expressions for him so that he can then 3D print them and make
copies
so that he can have different action figure heads and stuff like that. He makes the bodies. He does the body work himself. But yeah, we just printed the heads for him, and now, yeah.
What were you going to say? If you wanted to get one of these, or what?
You guys are pretty much on the verge of changing the toy industry.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's kind of right now that the toy industry, from what I've seen so far, is that you've got a lot of really big toy companies
mm-hmm.
out there. They're not going to be around forever.
Yeah, they're not innovating.
And one, they're not innovating. Two, it's really hard to get into those companies as a new designer.
Yeah.
And I think that those companies, I don't want to name any names or
yeah.
anything, but like, I think that those companies are, they're closing themselves off
mm-hmm.
to potential.
Yeah.
And it's with the way the manufacturing in America is starting to change, people are getting sick and tired of having to go to China or go overseas to get this stuff made. Or it's a lot of extra
yeah.
work. With things like 3D printing and that stuff, it's changing the game. Now you don't have to wait, you know, a week to get a character, a prototype back. And even anything simple, like, you know, if you have an idea for a gear or some
yeah.
machine
yeah.
thing, now a 3D printer, we can make that overnight now.
Yeah.
You know, versus like, there was a time when people
yeah.
had to wait weeks to get
yeah.
that thing back. You know what I mean? The manufacturing, oh. So yeah, I agree. I think just manufacturing in general is going to change, and specifically the way toys are done. I think it's going to be different. So.
Yeah, like because like Hasbro and stuff and Mattel, like the quality has really gotten better. But I'm looking at this stuff and I'm like, I think they could probably, you know, like do something better than that. But I don't understand why they're not trying to innovate. You know, like I don't get that aspect.
It's the money.
And it's what. They have to, man. They have
yeah.
to invest, or else they're going to go out of business.
And what I'm starting to see in the toy industry is even companies, so like McFarlane Toys,
mm-hmm.
Todd McFarlane and his company now, what they end up doing is they subcontract out work to other studios, kind of like what me and him have created here,
mm-hmm.
where a company like Sideshow Collectibles or Todd, you know, McFarlane Toys or something, they'll say, okay, we have a new toy design, but we're not going to make it in-house. We're going to have some other production company make it. And once it's done, then they brand it and they,
yeah.
you know, they put their name on it and they sell it and stuff. But again, you're still making another company's toys.
Yeah, and you can still get credit for it.
You get credit as an artist, yeah. You know, I mean, for doing the artwork on it, but it's not your toy design.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where it's having your own character
Are you guys working on that?
Yeah, so that's where we've got
Is that the hamburger thing or no?
No, so that's another client.
That's another guy, right?
Our thing that we've been working on has been the line that I started to develop about 4 years ago.
Is it this stuff?
So it's these these pig characters here. What I did about 4 years ago is I went back and I rewrote a bunch of the classic fairy tale stories, the Mother Goose stuff.
Yeah.
So the Three Little Pigs and the Big Bad Wolf. You know, the cow that jumped over the moon, the cat and the fiddle, Humpty Dumpty. You know, Little Boy Blue. All these classic nursery rhymes.
In horror.
And exactly, you got it. I started to rewrite them and twist them around and make them. So this is my Puerco gone wrong, right? This is what happens when you leave pork out in the sun or something. It goes bad. It gets stinky. Yeah. It gets rotten. It gets gross.
Mm-hmm.
So our story that we've started off with these characters is the Rotten Hams. That's their name of these characters, the three pigs, but they're referred to as the Rotten Hams. And it's three pigs that are evil, rotten, gross, disgusting. And their whole thing is that they tortured the Big Bad Wolf.
Oh my God.
No, it's not about the Big Bad Wolf hunting the pigs anymore.
It's
we switched it around. Yeah, now the pigs are always chasing him around, tying him up, teasing him, torturing him, making fun of him, all these
Are you guys gonna do animation?
Eventually, I would love for us to get to that point. You know, a lot of cartoon shows as well as toy lines. A lot of times, what people don't know, like for instance, G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe started as the toy line first and then became the TV show, right? Unlike Transformers started off as the show and they produced the toy. So I'm trying to go with the toy line first and then maybe someday, hopefully, the other stuff kind of comes to it.
I think that's even better because you're not going to be able to compete, you know, with the big companies unless you do your own content.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got to be the source.
Yeah.
That's something that I've started to find now. As designers and things like that, it's like, I feel like you have to almost, you have to create something or not, I don't want to say original.
Yeah.
Because nowadays that's almost impossible.
You just need to be creative.
You have to, and you got to, once you get on that creative, you just got to stick with it. And that's this melty stuff that I've been doing and stuff, the style, that's something I found that people like it. And so now I'm like, okay.
It kind of gives
stay
me like, well, that one's Rick and Morty theme, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
It all kind of gives the vibe of Rick and Morty regardless.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's just something
gross.
Really dope. No, I like Rick and Morty.
Yeah,
so.
I do too. Yeah.
Tell me the story of how you started with that style.
With this style? Oh, wow. I saw the shirt and then, I mean, like...
I think you told me that it was in a coloring book or something like that and you...
So the way that I started doing the art and developed the style itself was that I just took an original character and traced the lines from an original character and then erased the areas of the character that I wanted to melt and so I mean I'm not doing anything that's necessarily like I'm not recreating characters. I'm just taking something that already exists and what I like is I'm adding sauce.
Yeah.
I'm pouring some salsa on top of that, spicing it up a little bit, you know.
So
yeah, man, that's the direction I've been going with it.
That's pretty dope. So, what is the ultimate goal like with you guys' little thing that you guys are starting?
Make
stuff.
Is the sky the limit?
I guess
just wherever it goes.
Like, I'll play all the competitors right now. Like everyone's making figurines, but can we make them better?
Okay. Yeah, I think that into
how many competitors are there?
There's actually a lot.
Like are you guys like locally or like?
Here locally, there's not a lot of people doing what we're doing right now in San Diego. San Diego, this whole like independent toy maker thing is not really a thing here. Now Los Angeles, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of other guys. New York, there's a lot of other guys. There's two major shows every year that are specifically for guys that do what we do. Whether it's guys who make independent clothing or toys or stuff like that. So you've got in Anaheim in November, there's DesignerCon.
Mm-hmm.
Big, huge, 3-day convention, amazing, tons of artists, guys who make toys, that's where that's where that came from, was the designer convention from one of my friends. And then the other show that they do is basically the exact same show. Same artists go to the same show, except it's on the East Coast. Okay. It's in Brooklyn, and it's called the Five Points Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And they have that at the beginning of the year. But those two shows are like the independent artist shows. The guy who started Obey, he started off at the Designer Con in Anaheim.
The brand or whatever?
Yeah, the brand. That's where it got its first start. That's where they started selling t-shirts for the very first time, you know?
Yeah.
Johnny Cupcakes. So if anybody's ever heard of Johnny Cupcakes, Johnny Cupcakes got their start at Designer Con. You know, now it's a huge multinational thing where they're starting to grow. And, you know, a lot of famous artists go there and set up people who make enamel pins. Oh, things like that. So it's a big show. It's an art show for artists. That's what Designer Con is.
Yeah. That's pretty dope because it gives people an outlet, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there's like, you get to interact with a lot of other people. And
That's why everybody likes it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's not about, like, everybody goes there to sell stuff.
Yeah.
But nobody cares about selling merchandise. That's like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. We're all there to hang out with each other and see everybody else's work. It's that one time a year where all of your other art friends get to come together. There's concerts every night that are associated with it. They have live art demonstrations, so they've set up white walls everywhere, so all the artists can come.
They can just do whatever they want.
Yeah, it's awesome. Absolutely amazing experience. So
What does it look like at the end, like that whole white wall?
Just, I mean, it's weird because you can see.
It's different. I know
style,
it goes
deep,
but it blends in. I'm assuming, kind of.
Yeah, they circle the whole place with white blank walls, so it's like you can walk through and see artists as they're working, and like that's the best part
Do they put them right next to each other too, like, or do they like?
Yeah, they're like right up next to each other, so it looks like one long wall of art.
Okay.
But the style just changes as you walk through it.
Okay.
You know, and like it's cool because you can see the artists as they're working on it, and it starts off with these raw sketches, and then as Friday, Saturday, and Sunday go through, and the weekend progresses, you see the art pieces starting to come to life. You're like, wow, man, that's crazy. Like, I remember that was just a sketch yesterday. You know.
Yeah. That's what I tell him, coming back to, like, the sky is the limit. I tell him every time that we do the podcast is, like, I don't care, like, what happens. We're just going to keep going, you know, because I don't know what's going to happen with the podcast or if it's ever going to get big or if it's not ever going to get big. But I don't worry about that because it's not, my goal is not to, like, be famous or anything, you know.
Right.
I just want my audience to hear what we want to do, you know,
for sure,
which is kind of be an outlet for people like you guys, and also like be able to just hang around with people that do the same thing that we do, you know,
create the community.
Exactly. I love that word, community. That's all really about.
I think that your approach to even the podcast, and I think that's something that I'm personally approaching with my art and even this business stuff is like, you know, you focus on the quality of your product and everything else will start to fall in place, you know. I get a lot of customers and clients and people who want design stuff, and they're like, man, I need a good logo. And I'm like, bro, you don't have a product to even sell yet.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting your head wrapped
the reality
around a logo.
Is it's not there. Like,
you know, I think that that's something that even like your podcast and us as artists, we need to educate the world in that, like, people are sold on the idea of visual, you know, with Instagram and Facebook and social media, everything's visual nowadays.
Yeah.
And so people are putting the importance on visual, and I'm like, no, don't get me wrong, it's important to have a visual presence. You need to be there visually, and it needs to look good, but don't think, like, don't get wrapped up in thinking that is what you are. No, you create something, and just be concerned with whether or not you like your creation.
Or not. Yeah.
That's it, you know? My wife gave me a great piece of advice. She was like, do your thing and people will come to you, man. Don't stress about whether or not you're getting clients or that. She's like, just make stuff. Just make stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It just looks like you're happy. Right. Like, ever since I've met you, it's like, you know, over there at the Rocket Con, it's just like your attitude is just like... Like, boom. Like,
thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. The military did a good job, you know, showing me, like, after being in the military for so long and living a very extreme life, coming out of that and getting to do artwork, I feel so lucky.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, like, this is a dream come true, because most of the guys that I know that came out of my career and all that from the military, they're police officers or they're working in either mechanics or they're working at that. And that's hard work too, man. Like, dude, I get to paint and call it work, man. I'm not gonna complain about having a hard job ever again.
Or you can't even complain either, because there's a possibility that maybe you would never came back. Or, you know,
like, exactly. It's like,
it's just fucking crazy. You know? You know?
Yeah, I was lucky dude.
No, but it's like, it was meant to be, you know, and everything that you're doing right now is like, it was meant to happen for some reason.
I think so. Well, I was meant to meet this guy too. I mean, like, I gotta admit, man, when I met you too, I'm like, seeing your artwork and seeing how motivated you were, and that, like, that environment, I think the convention environment really brings people together. It's a special place, and I think that's what Rocket Con specifically is a convention. I think that anybody listening to this podcast right now, if you haven't heard of Rocket Con and you live in the San Diego or Southern California area, go to it.
Yeah.
It is what San Diego Comic Con was 15, 20 years ago, man. It was that feeling. And that's I think that's why me and Xavier loved it so much, was because it brought together artists and families and friends. And it wasn't one of those environments where, you know, don't get me wrong, I love San Diego Comic Con. But man, you gotta be prepared to go into that. That's an endurance test.
It's a whole different level.
That's a whole other level, man.
I'm prepared, man.
You gotta like work out the day before and hydrate and stuff like that. You know, like, it's insane. And that's where I think I had such a great time at RocketCon. I had such a great time meeting Xavier and stuff. It brought it back down to that realistic level.
Yeah.
That stuff that we're like, oh, this is the reason why I love this place. Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that I noticed at the Rocket Con, is that, like, nobody really was out there to cutthroat each other. No. Everybody was like, oh, yeah. Like, I would see one vendor, like, run to his booth and then come back and, oh, hey, I got this. You know, another guy would be talking. And, like, all the vendors, like, were talking and, you know, and so that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think that's, you start to find that, like, the vendors even, like, it's a small community. It's actually, this whole, like, convention circuit of people that do these comic shows, Anime Expo, Los Angeles Comic Con, Rocket Con, you know, all these different things that are cons, this, con that now, you know, it's actually a really small group. You see the same faces. I see the exact same people every single show I go to now. And it's awesome because I'm like, oh my God, these are, okay, cool. These are the people that I can hang out with. And I get excited now when I go to a show and I see somebody I know. And I'm like, yo, what's up? All right. Now I have somebody I can go hang out with, you know. And that was RocketCon for me, this last one specifically. And hanging out with you, I think, that really, I was like, man, this is what it's all about. It's about meeting other vendors, meeting new people, making new friends. Now here you guys are here, you know. And I was like, that was March?
Yeah, that was March. Like 4 months.
March. April, May, June, July. Yeah, here we are now. 4 months, man. Staying in contact.
Even after we did the Rocket Con, we're still...
Well, I mean, like, your work is just so awesome, man. I absolutely love the stuff that you do.
You should have seen him a year and a half ago, maybe.
He's got some... I mean... Don't get me wrong, like, I've been doing artwork too since I was a little kid also, but, like, maybe I'm, like, too humble or something. I try to, you know, say but this guy, I mean, like, they're going to do a show, and he's like, no, you're going to put your artwork on the poster. It's like,
I didn't give him an option. He was hesitant. He was hesitant, and I was like, nah, I think it's time for you to get out that
spot,
you know?
Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes you gotta have that person in your corner that has a little bit of faith in you to be able to push it.
You guys are pushing it out of me. Like, hey, make me some shoes. All right,
And that's it. Well, that's, like, when you see good quality work, you know what I mean? And that's the thing, is when you see something that's good and you know it's good.
It always makes you pissed. You're like, damn, I could do that.
It's like, I see your stuff and I'm like, I know that there are people out there, other people, if I like it, there's other people that are gonna like it.
When you were looking at this stuff too,
oh, I know.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, this was one of my, this was my second Xavier piece that I got. My first Xavier piece is at home, and it's a old school VW bus that's inside of a glass container, and he did the tree and all this stuff, and that has got to be one of the most incredible art pieces, and to think that it started out as a Matchbox car that you strip. And that's what I'm talking about nowadays, man, yeah, and that's, you know, originality or something like that. It's like, no. Take something that somebody already did and show them how bad they were doing it by doing it better. You know, it's like, oh, I love all the Disney stuff and all the Rick and Morty stuff, but I'm like, watch, I'm gonna do it cool. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it cooler looking. Watch.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh man.
Yeah, man. The melt stuff came to me, and I like the melt style art, and even our company name now is Meltdown Productions.
Nice.
So our company name is Meltdown Production. Our logo is the nuclear symbol with green goo coming off of it and stuff. I know it's a lot of a metaphor for what's going on today too. The temperature of the earth is rising.
Yeah.
Everything is starting to melt. We've got nuclear tensions between Russia, America, Iran, China, all this stuff. Nuclear tension.
The immigration. There's a bunch of
There's a lot of tension. So there was the nuclear element, that's where we pulled the whole meltdown thing from, and then my whole thing is, like, you know, like, as people, you see on the internet, you see in life, people are, like, kind of being shitty to each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know. I'm a firm believer in karma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, if you don't start treating people right, we're all going to melt.
Yeah.
We're all going to burn. We're all going to melt down. You know? So.
This guy in his toy community, and I'm talking about Eduardo, is that, you know, and I always try to tell him, like, you know, every once in a while, hey, Eduardo, but what about this heat and what about this? Like, you know what? Forget about that.
Yeah.
It is like, you know, they're going to get there. What do you...
It doesn't matter. Like, I tell him, whoever, it's like, I try to explain it to him in the sense, like, once you do something and you're doing it correctly, you have the leverage.
Yeah.
So the other person is going to come and bite them in the ass, you know? So at the end of the day, you don't have to worry about it. And because you're only building up evidence. Or as I want to call evidence, you know? Like, let's say there's somebody who's not productive and we're putting in more work or whatever. And
it's only a matter of time.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because everybody's going to get...
It works,
like,
itself out.
Everybody's going to get either swept away or they're going to be there, you know, like one way or another. So if you're good enough, you're going to make it. And if you're not good enough, then it's just...
Absolutely, man. Yeah, you know? that's totally true. I'd say, Jeremy, I mean, you probably agree that even in the last 10 years, 3D technology and the software and all the programs that we use
keeps getting better and easier. Compared to other industries, the only industry that constantly gets better, grows in quality is just the 3D industry, if anything.
It really is. I fell in love with the world of 3D because of the power that 3D has. Mm-hmm. You know, it's guys like me and him, it's like, great, we can take a sculpture that we make now and get it made, but at the same time, we can take that exact same thing that we made in 3D software and animate it, make it move. We can take it, and then we can say, you know what? Let's just do a high render of this, and we can animate it to look like a product, you know, render. You know, there's just so much potential that can be done now in a video game.
And not only for you guys, but for resources in life in general, you know, like, they're going to start making more desks or like
all
stuff.
That stuff, physical objects. Mm-hmm. And then now, I mean, like, I'm pretty convinced that 10 to 15 years from now, most people will have themselves 3D scanned.
Mm-hmm.
You're like Kodak, all these they're starting to do it now. It's called photogrammetry. People go in and they get a head scan of themselves, and it's a room a bit like, you know, the size of this. Mm-hmm. You walk into it, and it's a bunch of cameras that are set up in a 360, and it scans your whole face.
Yeah, it's the norm for like movies.
Yeah, that's what it's for nowadays. It's exactly what they're doing.
I think that's where
the and all that can just literally transfer to the computer. Or like,
so you transfer it, and then someone like me and all.
So now you don't have to make it. You just literally.
You just have to know how to.
Yeah, you got
to
know the program.
Like the dimensions or whatever. Okay.
That's it. So like guys like us, where our skill set becomes valuable, and that is it. So technology's making some things easier. Where like, yeah, now I don't have to sculpt your face. We can scan it, but when we scan somebody's face, usually it's not
hair, give you a bald cap.
You have to be the there. Hair. Usually has to be a guy on the other end to go through and do a little bit of that, know how to do the touch up work to it and stuff like that. And that's what we do for the most part now, is technology itself, 3D printers, 3D scanners, all this new stuff that's coming out that makes it a little bit easier is great, but you still have to have a working knowledge of how to manipulate that stuff so it can go where it needs to go in the end. You know, but yeah, 3D stuff in general, I mean, imagine now yourself, again, if you were, let's say you were getting married over again, and you're like, oh, I want a wedding cake topper, the husband, the groom and the wife on the top of the wedding cake. You're like, but I want it to look like me.
Yeah.
You can get yourself 3D scanned and 3D printed.
3D scanned, and then you're like, 3D printed, cool, yeah. But you're like, but I want it to be made out of chocolate. That's okay, because we can 3D print a chocolate. Right? And then you can use food coloring airbrush, and we can airbrush and make
candies
it look like
and stuff like that too, right?
Yep. Yeah. You can 3D print in metal now. You can 3D print in plastic. You can 3D print in ceramic. You can 3D print in chocolate. There's nothing you can't do anymore.
I feel you.
Oh, yeah, man. It's an incredible industry, incredible world. Everything that we're starting to develop is just, I personally am floored by it. Every month that goes by, something new comes out, and I'm like, man, oh my god, that's so cool. How am I going to use that in the, you know?
And it's basically the Geek Station. All we do is talk about the new stuff. And
yeah.
New
oh my
stuff.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
Are you guys going to be at San Diego Comic Con?
Yeah, I'll be down there.
Are you guys have a booth or no?
No, we're not going to have a booth this year. Next year, we will have, my goal is to have a booth next year at San Diego Comic Con, an artist alley. That's our goal next year. This year was since this is our first year setting up, we have a couple shows lined up this year that are going to help us feel out our process when we, you know, for when we go actually go out and bring this stuff to people.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so next year we're trying to be at Comic-Con. This year I'll physically be down there. I am a cosplayer.
Okay.
And a lot of what we're working on in 3D printing is 3D printing cosplay pieces.
Okay.
Helmets, armor, all this stuff for people. We had a client come in a week or two ago, a girl who wants to be Wonder Woman. Oh, and man. So we're 3D designing and printing an entire armor set Wonder Woman armor for her that's all gold and like, yeah, it's crazy looking,
damn.
You know, but it's also $3,000 worth
of
3D printing and modeling and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we're doing is making props for movies, costumes, statues, toys, sculptures, 3D stuff for people so that it can go on their Instagram.
Models, movies, shows, cartoons.
We take graphic design and we bring it to that next level.
I can't wait to see what else you guys, or like what you guys are going to look like 6 months, a year, 3 years from now. Like,
know,
I'm excited. We have to come back, man.
Yeah, man.
Follow Uncommon Designer on Instagram.
And
Jacob's Art.
Yep.
I'm gonna look that up too.
Yeah, follow Jacob's Art.
But yeah, a lot of the stuff that he's doing, he usually puts it on the...
For sure.
And then, what was that other one too?
Meltdown Productions. That's our collection. Yeah, that's we have an Instagram for that. Meltdown Productions is where all of the artists who are involved with what it is that we're doing kind of come together. That's our main business hub. And then we each have our own independent designer names and lines. So Uncommon Designer, Jacob's Art, and stuff like that. Together, it's like Voltron.
Yeah.
We come together, we form one super robot, you know?
All right, man. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys so much. Yeah. Awesome. It's good to see you, Xavier.